Hello and welcome to Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 17th of September 2007, brought to you by azonano.com. My name is Stuart Cameron. In this edition of Azo Nano News, as well as bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry, we'll be talking with Stephen Stucklin from NanoSurf about the compact size of the microbes produced by NanoSurf, the low price points for entry-level equipment and sending microscopes to Mars. We'll also hear how researchers are turning microorganisms into microfactories, how microbes are turning plants into fuel, and how scientists are working on making solar energy as cheap and simple as growing grass. These stories and many more in this edition of Azo Nano News. Nanologics Incorporated, a nanobiotechnology company, announced it has achieved an historical event with the first on-site generation of electricity using hydrogen gas produced from its bioreactor prototype facility at Welch Foods Incorporated, a cooperative in Pennsylvania. A 5.5 kilowatt generator converted to run on hydrogen was utilized for the demonstration. The generator ran flawlessly on hydrogen gas produced by Nanologic's hydrogen bioreactor system and powered multiple strings of 100-watt light bulbs. The Welch's development, enabling conversion of sugar from their wastewater stream to produce hydrogen, has contributed immeasurably to ongoing research and development for processing other types of waste streams. UCLA chemists working at the nanoscale have developed a new, inexpensive means of forcing luminescent polymers to give off polarized light and of confining that light to produce polymer-based lasers. The research, which could lead to a brighter polarized light source for LEDs in laptop computers, cell phones and other consumer electronic devices, currently appears in the advanced online edition of the journal Nature Nanotechnology. The researchers have succeeded in taking semiconductor polymers, plastics that consist of long chains of atoms that work as semiconductors, and stretching them out in a silica host matrix so that they have new optical properties. Because the chains point in the same direction, they absorb polarized light and give off polarized light. Lining up the polymer chains also provides advantages for laser technology because all the chains can participate in the lasing process, and they can make the light polarized without the need for any external optical elements. Microorganisms may soon be efficiently and inexpensively producing novel pharmaceutical compounds such as flavonoids that fight aging, cancer or obesity, as well as high-value chemicals, as the result of a research being conducted at the University at Buffalo. In work that could transform radically the ways in which many of these compounds are produced commercially, the UB researchers are genetically engineering microorganisms such as E. coli into tiny cellular factories. Several patents relating to this work have been filed by UB. The team also is in discussion with companies in the US and abroad. The UB approach to synthetic chemistry addresses some of the major challenges in conventional industrial production of specialty chemicals. Through the use of specially adapted bacteria, specialized enzymes, and natural feedstocks, microbial biosynthesis reduces or eliminates the need for petrochemical sources, elevated temperatures, toxic heavy metal catalysts, extremes of acidity, and dangerous solvents. Scientists have developed unique technology to grow stem cells and other tissue in the laboratory in conditions similar to the way they grow in the human body. The technology developed and patented by scientists at Durham University and its spin-out company Reinnovate Limited is a plastic scaffold which allows cells to be grown in a more realistic three-dimensional form compared to the traditional flat surface of a Petri dish. Evidence gathered by the research team shows that the technology is a cheap and straightforward way of cultivating cells in 3D. Using it could lead to a more successful drug development program and a reduction in unnecessary tests on animals. A large proportion of drugs fail at the testing stage, costing industry millions of pounds in research and development costs and failed drug trials every year. At the moment, most drugs in development are first tested on cells grown in two dimensions in standard laboratory equipment such as a Petri dish. But cells in the human body form tissues and grow in more complex three-dimensional ways. The search for greener alternatives to fossil fuels has led to a major investment in a microbe that converts plant matter into ethanol, noted for its appetite for all things cellulose, including switchgrass, wood pulp and corn plant waste. The bacterium is highly efficient at converting biomass to ethanol, and it does so in a carbon-neutral process that doesn't require the additional enzyme treatments usually accompanying bioethanol production. The microbe is also unusual in its ability to consume such a wide variety of plant material. It breaks down cellulose with ease, the notoriously tough molecule that's the primary component of plant biomass. The research team surveyed the bacterium's dietary preferences, feeding it everything from wood pulp waste to sugarcane bagasse, the plant matter that's left over once sugarcane is crushed. Pectin, starch, xylan and other plant polymers that can be difficult to digest were no problem for the microbe. The microbe's enzymes are another property that makes it an ideal organism for use in large-scale production of ethanol from biomass. For the first time, scientists have been able to film in real time the nanoscale interaction of an enzyme and a DNA strand from an attacking virus. Researchers from the University of Cambridge have used a revolutionary scanning atomic force microscope in Japan to produce amazing footage of a protective enzyme unraveling the DNA of a virus trying to infect a bacterial host. The research will improve our understanding of how enzymes interact with DNA at the nanoscale, but also has a marked implication for scientists studying DNA repair and could help in the search for cancer treatments. Working with researchers in Edinburgh, Japan and India, the Cambridge team used a state-of-the-art microscope, only three of which exist in the world today, and a technique known as fast scan atomic force microscopy. Bioengineering researchers from the EPFL in Lausanne, Switzerland, have developed and patented a nanoparticle that can deliver vaccines more effectively, with fewer side effects, and at a fraction of the cost of current vaccine technologies. The vaccine delivery platform is a deceptively simple combination of nanotechnology and chemistry that represents a huge advantage over current vaccine methods. This technology may make it possible to vaccinate against diseases like hepatitis and malaria with a single injection. And at an estimated cost of only $1 a dose, this technology represents a real breakthrough for vaccine efforts in the developing world. For orthopedic implants to be successful, bone must meld to the metal that artificial hips, knees, and shoulders are made of. A team of Brown University engineers, led by Thomas Webster, have discovered a new material that could significantly increase this success rate. They took titanium, the most popular implant material around, and chemically treated it and applied an electrical current to it. This process, called anodization, creates a pitted coating in the surface of the titanium. Webster and his team packed those pits with a cobalt catalyst and then ran the samples through a chemical process that involved heating them to a scorching 700 degrees. That caused carbon nanotubes to sprout from each pit. Researchers then placed human osteoblasts, or bone-forming cells, onto the nanotube-covered samples, as well as onto samples of plain and anodized titanium. The samples were placed in an incubator. After 3 weeks, the team found that the bone cells grew twice as fast on the titanium covered in nanotubes. Cells interacting with the nanotubes also made significantly more calcium, the essential ingredient for healthy bones. Scientists are working to produce cheap, sustainable solar energy by imitating nature. Nanotechnology researchers, like California Institute of Technology professor Nate Lewis, are exploring nanoscale materials that mimic the architecture of grass and photosynthesis to capture and store the sun's energy. Ordinary-looking nano-enabled house paint, roofs or shingles could replace today's black, glass-like photovoltaic cells, which are usually composed of crystalline silicon and are unwieldy, unsightly and very expensive to manufacture. In addition to homes, this innovative technology someday could power cell phones, laptops and even automobiles. Scientists from the University of Pennsylvania have developed nanowires capable of storing computer data for 100,000 years and retrieving that data 1,000 times faster than existing portable memory devices such as flash memory and micro drives, all using less power and space than current memory technologies. The researchers developed a self-assembling nanowire of germanium antimony telluride. a phase-changing material that switches between amorphous and crystalline structures, the key to read-write computer memory. Fabrication of the nanoscale devices, roughly 100 atoms in diameter, was performed without conventional lithography. The blunt, top-down manufacturing process that employs strong chemicals and often produces unusable materials with space, size and efficiency limitations. Instead, researchers used self-assembly, a process by which chemical reactants crystallize at lower temperatures, mediated by nanoscale metal catalysts, to spontaneously form nanowires that were 30 to 50 nanometers in diameter and 10 micrometers in length. And then they fabricated memory devices on silicon substrates. In this week's Azo Nano interview, we speak with Stephen Stucklin from NanoSurf. NanoSurf develops and produces scanning probe microscopes and positioning devices with nanometer resolution. This interview examines the compact size of the microscopes produced by NanoSurf, the low price points for entry-level equipment, and sending microscopes to Mars.
This is David Fruin from Azo Nano. I'm on the floor at COMS 2007 with Stephen Stucklin from NanoSurf. Thanks for giving us some of your time, Stephen.
Thank you, David.
Can you give us an outline of what NanoSurf does?
NanoSurf makes atomic force microscopes and scanning tunneling microscopes with a particular emphasis on making them small and easy to use.
I see here that we've got in front of us an AFM, and I'm just blown away by exactly how small this thing is. It could fit in a laptop bag.
Almost, yes. In fact, I carry the scan head home to the hotel every night in my laptop bag.
You could fit it in the pocket of your jacket.
The scan head itself, I could. And because it's a mountable scan head, I can take it off the scanning stage, the translation stage, and put it in my laptop outer pocket.
Can you give us some specs on the scanner itself?
We have different types of scanners. We have one that can scan a range as large as 110 micrometers with a Z range of 22. We have another that's made for higher resolutions that scans 10 micrometers X and Y and about 2 in Z. And that one can scan, that one can detect atomic steps on a crystalline surface in Z.
I also noticed that there's no discernible movement happening in that head as people walk backwards and forwards in front of the machine. Can you explain a bit about the auto-dampening system that's incorporated into it?
In this particular system, we have a dual passive vibration isolation, so it's basically two spring dashpot systems in series. Now, for real high resolution, you need an active vibration isolation table, and if you were to measure at those resolutions, you would see the people walking back and forth and talking and having a good time here at COMS 2007.
This particular item, although it's quite a small AFM, you were just telling me a few minutes ago that you've actually made one that's even smaller. Can you tell us about that particular AFM and where that's going to be used?
That particular AFM was made actually in 1999 already, if I've got my numbers right, and then planned to be sent to Mars. That was shelved as a result of some Mars expedition disasters. And it's finally been sent off this year in August, and we hope that it will land and work next year in May.
Can you tell us where your different systems are generally used, what applications they are used for?
A lot of our simpler systems are used in university education to bring students up to speed in nanotechnology, introduce them to certain physical concepts like tunneling currents and interatomic forces, but also small and medium-sized enterprises like the idea of having an easy-to-use and reasonably priced system, which we can offer. We're made in Switzerland, so we like to think that our country is capable of high-precision assembly and some good quality, and because of a smart design, we can keep the prices low even though we are in Switzerland.
Are you allowed to talk about what those prices are?
Well, it's a little difficult because the distributor in the local country makes the price in the end, so you've got some room for negotiation. The STM, which is the lowest cost model and really popular in universities in the US and Europe, you can have that one for less than $15,000 US. And the AFM will start at around $25,000 to $30,000.
So from a nanotechnology standpoint, do you have any particular areas of nanotechnology that really stand out to you as being exciting?
That's a tough question, because we see so many technologies across the board, and a lot of them are really exciting in their applications. We find that a lot of our customers are actually still doing very basic measurements, such as roughness, and say, heights in certain structures, hologram structures or other molded structures, for instance. So that might not be what a lot of nano people might see as the new future wave, but it's laying the groundwork for what's to come.
Thanks, Stefan, for your time.
Thank you very much, David.
Azonano Business News. Siemens Medical Solutions and Zintec Incorporated announced that they've signed an agreement to establish a joint venture company in Research Triangle Park. The mission of the new company, named Zinray Systems, is to develop a new multi-pixel X-ray source technology for a broad range of diagnostic imaging applications. Affymetrix Incorporated announced that it's promoted Kevin M. King to president of the company, reporting to Stephen Fodor, PhD, chairman and CEO. King previously served as president of the life sciences business and executive vice president. Micromem Technologies Incorporated is pleased to announce that it's engaged Global Communications Semiconductors Incorporated for its next stage of MRAM development. American Elements announced the formation of a new product group to manage the production, sales and marketing of its quantum dot nanopowder production facilities. The new division was spun off from the Nanometals Group and will operate under the trade name AE Quantum Dots. Platypus Technologies, a life sciences nanotechnology company, has been awarded a $2.3 million contract with the Edgewood Chemical and Biological Center in Maryland. Holographics has opened two new laboratories to expand its micro and nano replication production capacity by 50%. Well, that was Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 17th of September 2007. If you have any nano courses, events or exhibitions you'd like to promote to a global nanotech audience, don't forget that you can list them for free at azonano.com. To review any of the stories you've heard about in this podcast, or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit www.azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please email us at podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening.